Thank you, Andrew, for the patriotic songs this evening in line with the National Day of Prayer and Remembrance on this Thursday of this week. You know, I'll tell you how it strikes me as I sing the words of these songs and I think about the heritage of our country, the battles that have been fought, the lives that have been lost for us to have the freedom that we have. And think about what is happening now, the things that are being promoted, things that are being encouraged, things that once were important in our nation, knocked down, destroyed, set aside, and things put in their place which are anything but honorable and admirable. This seems to be the way that so many are wanting to see our country go. It brings you almost to tears. I was thinking, I know we have two veterans here this evening. I never served in the armed forces in my lifetime. But I know we have two veterans here that serve. And because of patriotism and a love for the country, and to see how things are going, it's terrible. It's terrible. And we ask God to bless us. And we ask God to enable us to just keep on keeping on. God needs to do a mighty work in the hearts of the people of this nation as a whole. What needs to be done is something that only God can do. Mm-hmm. There is no president, Congress, legislature that can pass laws and orchestrate anything that our country needs. We need God to do work in the hearts of the people of this nation. So thank you, Andrew, for those songs. The words, they're meaningful as you sing them. Just appreciate the reminders of that. Once again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we now take some time, this portion in our service, to focus our thoughts on your word, the things that you have for us from it, I pray that you would be able to speak to our hearts, teach us, give us what we need tonight. We thank you, we praise you that we can be here. We look to you, we wait on you. In your name I pray. Andrew, for your title on your little disc there, let's call this one, Nothing Escapes His Notice. Nothing Escapes His Notice. I have recently been thinking about how much attention God gives to the things going on in the world. After all, the universe is mighty big, and the earth is just one tiny speck. And then think of all the millions and millions of people on that one tiny speck in the universe. really, should we even think that God might be interested in the things that happen in the lives of people on this earth? After all, that's a big universe. You go to a planetarium and you sit there and you watch some of these PowerPoints or movies or whatever they have. We showed one here not long ago, and it was showing our world in relation to the universe. And then it started backing up, and how many other solar systems there are in the universe that we know of. And you stop and think, my word, is God really aware and even interested in what's going on this earth? Well, how do we answer that question? How do we answer that question? Some might answer, well, let's see. I think maybe this, or I think maybe that. But I would like to suggest, if we're going to get the correct answer to that question, I believe we need to turn to His Word. And there are some truths in His Word that I would like us to consider this evening in consideration of the question I asked. With the universe so big and the earth so small and millions of people on the earth, is God even interested in what takes place? Consideration number one. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. John 2, 24 and 25. And from these verses, we see the first point that I want to call to your attention for you note takers. From these two verses, we discover, number one, He knows what is in man and in mankind. He knows what's in man. Let's look at those two verses. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. As we stop and think about our God, the first thing that we notice here is, I'm asking myself the question, is God really aware or interested in what's happening in this world? And the thing that we see here from this first reference in John chapter 2 is, He knows what's in man. He knows about us. Number two, He knows man's ways. He knows man's ways. Not only does He know what's in man and what makes man tick and what man is interested in and involved in, He knows man's ways. Where do you get that, Pastor? Again, turn with me to Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34. And we notice in verse 21 and 22 these words. It tells us, for his eyes are upon what? Huh?
The ways of man.
The ways of man. His eyes are on man's ways. And he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21 tells us this. In conjunction with that, for the ways of man, and that's this second point, isn't it? Not only does he know what's in man, but he knows man's ways. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 19, don't turn to it, let me just quote it for you. Jeremiah said, thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Our question is, with the universe so big and the earth such a small speck in the universe, and then add to that the millions and millions of people here on that little speck we call Earth. Is he really knowledgeable of, interested in, the things that are going on in this Earth? We've seen so far two answers to that question. Number one, we saw he knows what's in man. There isn't anything about man that God isn't aware of. And number two, we've just seen with these references, he knows man's ways. We often talk about, well, that's just the way he is, or the way she is. And we find that here, the Scripture teaches us God knows man's ways. But that's not all to help us answer our question. Is he really that interested? Number three, he sees everything. Do you? We laughed. The Copleys came to our home this afternoon, and the girls who grew up part of that time with Keith and his family here at the church, they wanted to come. And we sat in the living room and we laughed as we listened to some stories about some of the things that took place that when he would get done telling the story, Keith, did you tell your dad that? Are you kidding? I wouldn't have told him about that. He'd have skinned me alive. But we laughed of just hearing some of the things that had gone on as a boy. You know how it all is, don't you? We all know that we have done those things, and we're sure glad that nobody saw what I did. Because if they saw what I had done, boy, I would have gotten skinned alive. But you know this third point that we're looking at? Do you know that there is anything that anyone has ever done that God hasn't seen? Put that in your memory bank. He sees everything. Where'd you get that, Pastor? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. The writer of Hebrews tells us this: neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now you and I sit here, and we might have quite a list of things that we have done that we didn't get caught doing it, and we're thankful we didn't get caught because the one we feared didn't see us, and so we didn't suffer the consequences of getting caught. But may I suggest to you, God watched. He saw it because he sees everything. In 2 Chronicles 16:9a, let me just read that for you. 2 Chronicles 16:9a, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's watching everything. The thing that really got me even thinking about this for tonight, any of you ever have any trouble going to sleep at night? I do sometimes. What do you think about when you're laying there trying to go to sleep? Oh my. And one night I was laying there trying to go to sleep, struggling with, come on, sleep, where are you? What you waiting on? I thought of this verse, and this is what really prompted tonight. The verse that I thought of was taken from Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31, where it says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? What are sparrows to you? What are sparrows to most anybody?
Nuisance.
Junk birds, aren't they?
Yep.
They're not like a beautiful cardinal or a beautiful bluebird or that titmouse that comes to the feeder with that pretty little point on the top of its feathers. That's just an old sparrow, just a junk bird. But you know, Scripture tells us, this was our Lord, one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. In other words, what he's saying, without your Father knowing. He sees everything. Number four. We've seen so far, he knows what's in man, he knows man's ways, he sees everything, and number four, he knows what people are thinking. In Psalm 94:11, the first part of that verse says this, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. Along that line, I jotted down some truth in the Gospels. Just write these down, note takers. We're not going to give you time to look them up. Matthew 9:4a. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Matthew 12:25a, and Jesus knew their thoughts. In Luke 6:8a, but he knew their thoughts. Luke 11:17a, but he, knowing their thoughts, said, as we think about this, what we've looked at this evening, isn't it quite remarkable, truth that we have just talked about concerning God and his interest in this old earth? That tiny little speck in the whole universe of his creation. And remember, how did this all come about? A big bang? It came about by what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do that? He's God. And everything that's on it came about by what? God said. And God said. And God said. Yes, he's interested in what's going on in this earth. All of this is quite remarkable. As we think of the four points we've looked at. He knows what's in man. He knows man's ways. He sees everything. And he knows what people are thinking. But you know, as I compiled this material, I thought, as remarkable as this is, none of it sounds very personal, does it? And as I searched a little bit further, what I want us to center our thoughts on now is evidence of God's interest in you and me personally. Remember that portion in Matthew chapter 10 that talked about the sparrows? I stopped because I wanted to, at this point, bring out the personal interest. God is not only interested in the sparrows that fall, but notice verse 30 of Matthew chapter 10. And what do you notice the Lord said? What does God know? It, as he was speaking to the group of people, he said, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now he pointed to the group of people that were listening to him. That same thought is mentioned in Luke chapter 12, verse 7. All this is to say, is God interested in you? Is God interested in me? And I say, yes, because his word tells me that he knows the number of hair on my head. I see those smiles on your faces. And you're thinking, well, he doesn't have to count very high. Doesn't have to count very high for you. Because you don't have very many hairs on your head. I don't have as many as Kevin. But you know what? Kevin knows how, the Lord knows how many hairs are on your head. And Jack's. And he knows how many is on mine. He keeps track. He knows. That's how interested my God is in me. That if somebody were to ask him, he could say, yes, Andy Walker has so many hair on his head. Mark Myrna has so many hair on his head. Remember our opening question? With the universe as big as it is, and the earth a tiny little speck in the universe, and on that little speck, the millions and millions of people, is God even aware or interested in what goes on this earth? We've seen it. Generally speaking, yes, he knows the thoughts of men. He knows the ways of man. He sees this, that, and the other thing. But now we discover we've taken it to a whole new realm. Now we've brought it to the personal level. You say, you know, I just don't know whether God's that interested in me or not, whether he cares that much about me or not. I'm sorry you feel that way, if you do. My Bible teaches me God is amazingly interested in you personally, me. Personally, he knows the number of the hairs on my head. The next thing I discovered from my favorite psalm, which is Psalm 139, verse 2a, 2b. Psalm 139, verse 2, the last part of that verse, I discovered this. It says, you understandest, thou understandest my thought afar off. My thought afar off. What that means is, he knows my thoughts before I've even had time to think them. He knows afar off what I'm going to be thinking. Does that sound like God is interested in you, yes or no?
Yes.
Of course, he knows my thoughts. Next thing we discover from this psalm is he knows my status. Look at the beginning of that second verse. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. You know what I wrote on that one? He knows my ups and downs. Keith talked about it a bit this morning. Are you always up? Anybody here always up? Emotionally, physically, whatever. Is there anybody here that's up sometimes and things are going good and we're happy? Of course there are. But aren't there some down times too? Sure there are. And the next time you are wondering, I wonder whether anybody even knows or cares. Your Heavenly Father does. He knows your down sitting and your uprising. He knows when you're down, figuratively speaking, or we could put it literally speaking. He knows when you're sitting down, and he knows when you're figuratively up, or when you're standing up. You've gotten up for the day, and you're out and about. Your Father knows that. He says, in verse 3, you compasseth my path. Compasseth my path. A path is figurative of the course and fortunes of life. It's figurative. You know my paths. You know what's happening to me. You know how things are going with me. And you also compass my lying down. And this one, interestingly enough, as I looked in the concordance, this is the only place in the Old Testament that this word is used. When it says, thou compasseth my path and my lying down. And it simply means when you're in bed. This is the lying down that this word is referring to. Next time you're having trouble going to sleep, or staying asleep in the middle of the night, just remember, your Heavenly Father knows you're in bed. And perhaps he'd like to hear from you if you would talk with him while you're laying there. Talk to him in prayer. You don't have to wonder, well, I wonder if he's too busy keeping track of the sparrows that are falling. No, he knows when I'm lying down in bed. So have a good talk with him. In verse 3, it says, thou art acquainted with what? All whose ways? Huh? My ways. Remember we saw earlier, he knows man's ways, and that's great that he knows man's ways in general. But here the psalmist says, you are acquainted with all of my ways. I appreciate that personal touch far more than just the fact that he knows the ways of man. But he knows all of your ways, my ways. Look at verse 4. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. What does this teach me about his personal knowledge and interest of me? What does he know according to this? He knows what? What I'm doing what? What I am saying. You are acquainted. It says, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it all together. He knows all my words. He hears them all. The older I get, the more I struggle with hearing. I wear these little gizmos in my ear. I have since the fall of 2017. They're not all they're cracked up to be, let me tell you. There's a lot of words I don't hear. Even when I'm wearing these things, a lot of things escape my hearing. Sometimes I'll ask, perhaps my wife, what'd you say? Oh, never mind, it didn't matter. I didn't hear what it was. God heard it. Oftentimes, we find ourselves muttering under our breath. Somebody does something and we don't appreciate it. And we mutter under our breath or under our beard, not loud enough for so-and-so to hear us. But you know who heard it? God heard it. Because it says there is not a word in my tongue that he doesn't know it altogether. It's remarkable that he is so concerned about people, isn't it? But I think how remarkable it is to learn how much he is concerned about us. I close with Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 through 37. And it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. How about that? All of those things that we muttered under our breath, all of those things that, in all honesty, we're glad nobody heard what went out of our lips, because we would be ashamed. God heard it. And someday we're going to have to answer for it. Verse 37 says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Words make all the difference. And God has heard them all. With the universe so big and the earth so small, with the multitudes of people on it, does God really pay attention to the things that are going on this old earth? You bet he does. Not just for people and the world in general, because he knows what's in man. He knows man's ways. He sees everything man does. He knows what people are thinking. But I brought it down. I brought it closer to home, and I'm so thankful that my God, my Father, is so concerned about my life that he even knows how many hair I still have left on my head. He knows my thoughts before I think them. He knows my status, if I'm having a good day, if I'm having a rotten day, if things are going well, if things are going bad. And he knows all my ways. And it's quite sobering to stop and think of the fact that he knows all my words. And someday I'll give an account of them. This is quite a God, isn't it? Quite a God. Thank him that you know him. Thank him that he's that concerned about you. We add to that, of course he's interested in what happens to us. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. His son bought us with his shed blood. That's why he is so interested in everything that happens with us and everything that goes on in our lives. Nothing escapes his notice with regard to one of his children. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, for these simple truths, but profound when we stop to realize what it means. You are an awesome God. We thank you and we praise you for your care for us, your knowledge of us, your interest in us. And I pray that it might make a difference in the way we live our lives. We ask these things for your glory.